This is Digital Dave, and I'm joined by
Sergeant Jacob Kazmierski
of the U.S. Army, and I'm standing in front of what looks like a giant model airplane, but it's...
This is the Shadow 200 unmanned aerial vehicle, used overseas for reconnaissance, surveillance, target acquisition.
Now, obviously, the small size of this airplane leads you to be battlefield deployable very quickly.
Fairly quickly. Not immediate, but all our equipment packs into 8 trucks and 6 trailers. So we drive out in the field. We can assemble within 2 hours and be ready to fly.
What's a typical mission profile for this aircraft look like?
It can fly for 6 hours. Away from where we're controlling it, it can fly for 125 kilometers, which is about 78 miles. It can go speeds from 65 knots to 110 knots. And the mission that it's actually participating in can depend on the day and who you're supporting. It can fly all the way from right off the ground to 15,000 feet up. So it also has high altitude packages for overseas, for in Afghanistan, for flying around the mountains, and it can get up to 20,000, but it's a carburetor adjustment to allow you to do that.
What kind of sensors do you carry on there? I mean, I'm assuming it's camera, gear, infrared, that kind of stuff?
The camera underneath it is a... It has electrical optical, which is regular daytime TV vision, infrared, which allow you to see heat signatures so you can see at night, and it also has the laser designator built into it. That way you can light up targets for laser-guided ammunition.
So it's not just surveillance. It's got a bit of teeth to it.
Yeah. Obviously, the troops that are getting sent overseas are the ones that all are trained on and use the laser designator more. In the States, we don't use it, but...
But you'd like to.
If the opportunity was there, it'd be some fun.
Now, are you a pilot? Are you one of the pilots that actually fly the machine?
Yes, I am the lead instructor for the state.
So you sit in a truck with a little control station and look at a TV?
Pretty much.
So finally, you can tell your mom, yes, all those video games paid off.
Yeah, it's taken a couple years, but it's finally at a point where we can use that.
So... Do you guys fly regularly scheduled, or do you come in when someone calls in and says, hey, I need some surveillance support?
Well, usually you get requests put out for you on missions. There's almost always going to be a request out for it. Everyone wants UAVs over them. Then you have someone that decides what mission you're going to be covering, and depending throughout the day, they can put you on different missions. You could be gathering intel on a building, and that could just be your mission for the day, and then as soon as there's troops in contact close to where you're at, you'll get dynamically retasked onto that. They'll say, hey, you guys are the closest ones nearby, there's people getting shot at 2 kilometers over from you, can you move over onto that target and let them know what's going on the ground?
What is an average day for you? I mean, you said the aircraft can endure for 6 hours, but how about the pilots?
They try to keep the pilot's flight time down, obviously, because it can get exhausting just sitting in there. Depending on the mission, you can fly for up to 12 hours in a day, but you can't sustain that rate for too many days before the pilots start to crash. So try to fly a pilot for about 8 hours in a day. They don't call us pilots, we're operators. You fly the plane, but since you're not in it, you're operating it. Yeah, it'll usually be about an 8 hour day of flight, little more, a little less, depending on how things are going. If you have weather and the plane can't fly, you're not going to do anything. But if there's a high value mission going on and you're tired, they're still going to tell you to keep the bird in the air because human lives are a lot more important than a piece of machinery.
That brings a question. When you're not flying, are you working on the aircraft? Are you part of the maintenance crew as well?
I am not part of a maintenance crew. Some of our people can do both. They can operate and work on the maintenance side, but we still help out with the maintenance, work on fueling, defueling, all our preventative maintenance checks, and we have different inspections, as all planes do, with our requirements on them.
Do you pre-flight the airplane as you would a full-size?
The pre-flight on this is actually a lot more intensive than pre-flight on a regular plane. I've been working on my private pilot, and I can get through pre-flights somewhat quick. With this, you actually can take your pre-flights anywhere from someone who moves fast, anywhere around a half an hour, to taking an hour, hour and a half to pre-flight the plane. The fact that you're not in it, the only way you can check if all your services and all your different modes of flight are responding correctly is to check all those on the ground and have someone telling you what the plane's doing. So the pre-flight on this is ridiculously extensive, and you have to double check everything so that you know that nothing's going to go wrong with in the air.
What about the flight training aspects at all? Is it as intense as a manned aircraft?
Flight training on it is 6 months of school in Arizona. We do not do any flight in an actual manned aircraft, but we still do the ground school portion of the private pilot, and you have to take the laser grade and pass that to be able to continue. After that, just like private pilots have their hour requirements flying their planes, we have the same hour requirements flying ours. It's a, time's a little bit different, but before you're able to fly it by yourself without someone instructing you, you're usually going to have about 40 to 50 live flight hours and over 100 sim flight hours.
What about night flights? As far as you're concerned, same as day?
You're looking at a computer screen. Night flights are, it looks no different to you on the computer screen. The only difference is electrical optical vision on the camera is going to show up black because everything's dark.
Obviously, it's good weather flying only, though. You're not flying into rain. You're obviously not flying into heavy cloud cover.
We operate under regular VFR conditions, and there's no point in flying in clouds or flying in the rain because the whole point of having the plane up is to use a camera. If your camera can't see anything, why are you in the air?
Well, that's a good point. I didn't think of that one. It looks like it's got a very unconventional engine on the back of it there. What can you tell me about that?
That is a Wankel rotary engine. It's a single rotor, two-channel, 208cc, 38-horsepower engine. Just like used on old snowmobiles and a couple old motorcycles.
The Wankels I know have a reputation for being quite noisy, and that seems to me to be a disadvantage in a battlefield situation.
On the ground, it is very noisy. Once we get about 5,000 feet up in the air, you're not going to hear it. So we have 10,000 feet of room to play after we're up in the air, where you're not going to hear us and you're not going to see us. It's also sometimes helpful that people can hear us, because if they know we're watching, they're not going to be doing the same stuff as if they think they're in the clear. So sometimes you can fly it low and use it as a deterrent to stop them from doing whatever they're doing.
Digging holes, planting things that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for about 3 years now.
And judging from the smile on your face, you love it almost as much as if you were in it.
It's not a bad field to be in. It's nice to be on the leading edge of something that's going to be a big future in aviation.
It's also nice to be able to walk away from the crash.
Yeah, not complaining about that either.
Now, you said you're getting your private pilot as well. Is that just something to do on the off time, or you figure you've got 80% of it already?
No, it's just a hobby of mine, something I want to do. I'd like to do it quicker, but it's kind of expensive, so.
Yeah, we all know that story. Now, you're saying they use these statesides for what? Just helping out police?
No, stateside, we only fly in restricted airspace or in an area where we have a certificate of authorization approved by the FAA. The whole point of flying it stateside is to keep your people current for when they're going overseas. You don't want someone to not fly for 2.5 years and then go overseas and fly a very expensive aircraft. You're going to have a lot of planes going down. We fly here mainly just to maintain all our minimum flying hour requirements, make sure that every 6 months we're flying 24 live flight hours and 8 sim flight hours, and that we're being evaluated annually and maintaining our upslip.
Well, that sounds like quite a comprehensive program. You feel personally that the future of aviation in the military is UAVs?
You can't really argue with the fact that a plane going down and no people being lost is a benefit. I don't think we're ever going to get away from having every plane be a UAV. Obviously, there's situations where having someone actually in the plane is very beneficial, but this is a growing field that's used more and more, and the fact that you're able to save human lives without risking other human lives is, it's a very important factor.
Well, I thank you very much, and sounds like you're having a blast. I mean, you went into the Army to fly very sophisticated model airplanes. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not the worst. And, of course, myself as well as everyone else is very happy to be out here at AirVenture.
Is this your first AirVenture?
I was actually here last year. All the other people that are here with me, this is their first time here.
So it's fun to watch them when they go into aluminum overload looking at all these airplanes.
Yeah, obviously everyone chooses this because aviation's something they're interested in. So there's nothing better than AirVenture to check out aviation.
Very good. Thank you for joining us. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio.